The Lord is faithful. He's good. He's merciful. I told Brother Gary, the Lord laid a message on my heart about a month and a half ago, and I didn't have a clue why I was going to preach it. But He did. So I want to be faithful to Him this morning. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 17. We don't talk about the rich young ruler this morning. What does it cost you to be a Christian? To serve Christ. Mark 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" He had a desire. He called the Lord good master. That's good teacher. And he kneeled. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." I think this young man had in his mind, and I think the scriptures have bared out, that he was already good. That's like one preacher preaching another, meet another preacher, and he said, "How you doing, preacher?" What he's saying is, "I'm a preacher and you're a preacher too." I meet Brother Fred Ray over at Brother Bonnie's church, and every time I see him, I say, "How you doing, truck driver?" Because I'm a truck driver too. And I think this is what the young, rich young ruler had in his mind, that, you know, I'm a good fellow. And so I'll ask this good teacher. And I think that's why Jesus answered him the way he did. He says, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but God." What he was telling him, you're not near as good as you think you are. Right. And sometimes we think we're pretty good. But he didn't kneel. He humbled himself. At least in the outward man. But God looks up on the heart. And we'll find later that what he was willing to kneel to with the outer man, he was not willing to yield to with the inner man. Sometimes we can put on a pretty good show. Sometimes we go to church and put on a pretty good show. But God knows what's in our hearts. And he's looking at the heart. And I believe that's what he was looking at this young man. He goes on and says, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Follow not. Honor thy father and mother." That's a pretty good list. And he answered and said unto him, "Masters, all these I have observed from my youth." I've done all this. Can we say that we have done all this? Have we kept these commandments? See, he was depending upon his goodness to get favor with God. And he answered and then said unto him, "Master, all these I've observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Look at this. Jesus said he loved him. And said unto him, "One thing I lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come take up thy cross and follow me." What he's saying is, what do you love? What are you willing to give up? Where is your heart really at? Is it to bow to me? Is it to deny yourself? He was a rich young ruler. He had authority. Are you willing to give up your authority and bow to me? Are you willing to give up your riches and give to the poor and deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. What does it cost you to be a Christian? Everything. If you're holding on to anything that you are putting before God, that has become your God. And he wasn't willing to do that. And he was sad at that sin and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. But he had temporary possessions. That's what Brother Conrad just got through preaching. He was looking at the now and not what the Lord had. But he's looking, what is in it for me right now? And I'm afraid that what so many of us to do is, what is in it for me right now? He says, thou shalt have treasures in heaven. He says, where your treasures is where your heart is. Where are your treasures? What do you meditate on? What do you think about? What do you enjoy? What do you live for? Is it for the pleasures of this world? Or is it to please God and to love Him and put Him first in all things? If you're living for this world and the things in this world, you'll never be satisfied. So he was not willing to give up temporary things for eternal things. Is there anything in your life that you're not willing to give up to God that you've got to hold on to? Then it has become a God to you. Now look in the same chapter in verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and has followed thee. This young man was not willing to leave all and follow him. But Peter says, we've left all and followed you. What's in it for me now? And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, or brother, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my sake and the gospel. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now isn't this strange? He says, in this life,
what do you say?
You shall have it. I think Brother Conrad has probably experienced that more than any of us. He's been all over the land. And he's been in many different homes. Ain't that right? And the people receive you in and they say, what is ours is yours. And we're glad to share it with you. He fulfilled that. He received more than he could ever imagine for the gospel's sake. But he says also with persecution.
Uh-oh.
It's not a life of ease. There is going to be persecution. But it's for a purpose. And it's like he brought out, it is to separate us from the world. It's to purify us. It's to keep our eyes on Christ. When you have problems that you cannot handle, what do you do? What does people do that are not Christians when they have problems? I don't know. I have to depend on the Lord. He has to sustain me. I don't know, I have the ability to overcome in myself. I am weak in the flesh. I have to depend upon Him. So here is Peter. And the Lord says, you have left all, but you have not left all in vain.
Amen.
I'd like to go a little further with this young ruler, rich young ruler. Later on, Jesus was crucified. And then Luke 23, look at Luke 23. Luke 23, he's hanging on the cross. In verse 35. And it says, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, desiring him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. Now it says that he went away sorrowful. But now the same one he went and yielded and knelt to is hanging on the cross. Is it possible that this rich young ruler was looking at Jesus now and said, well, he's not who I thought he was? It says rulers. He's not who I thought he was. I am glad I didn't give up my riches and give up my leadership and give my role over to him to take up my cross and follow him, because look what happened to him. He's hanging on the cross. What kind of Savior is that? What kind of leader is that? Not knowing that Jesus was dying for sin. And so he could be rejoicing. Look, I saved myself. I saved all that I have. I'm glad I didn't do that. What is Peter doing? They are lamentating. They are weeping over the death of Christ. Their Savior is dying on a cross. One seems to be mocking. And it says they're mocking Christ on the cross. The one that is not willing to give up everything. Another one, here is his Savior on the cross, dying. And they don't understand it because he is the Messiah. They already confessed that he is Christ. And yet he's hanging on the cross and he's dying. And they don't understand it. But it don't stop there. 3 days later, he arises. Look in John chapter 20. Have you ever stopped and thought about this? All hope is gone for the disciples. Their Lord has died on the cross. They were not expecting him to rise, even though he had explained it to them over and over. They were not expecting him to come out of that tomb. And they was, and look in chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the supper weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She says unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. She was not expecting him to be risen from the dead. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hither, tell me whether thou shalt have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Can you imagine what went over her when she realized that her Savior had rose from the dead? Can you picture that? Have you experienced that? Do you realize that?
Yeah.
That Jesus is alive. That he rose. What a victory. What a joy. This 3 days earlier, they were weeping and crying and moaning and carrying on because their Savior was dead. And now he is alive. And not just alive, but alive forevermore.
Right.
There was a rumor went out, and the rich young ruler heard it. He's alive. He rose. Do I believe that or do I not? He's done rejected him. Is it possible? He didn't know. But his disciples knew. The world today does not know if Jesus rose or not. But his disciples know. If you are here today and you are a Christian and you love the Lord, you know that he's a living and that he's a reigning. And it does something for us.
Right.
And the Bible says we have no hope without that.
Sir.
If Christ is not risen from the dead, we're of all men most miserable.
Right.
Why are you here today? Because we're serving a risen Savior.
Yeah.
He is worth it to give all to him. He is worth it. He not only arose, but then there was a rumor went out that he ascended. Can you imagine that? A rumor. The rich young ruler heard. They're saying that he went up in the clouds. Can you imagine that? Now, I don't know that for sure or not. That's what he's thinking. But that's the rumor. Maybe I missed out on something. Maybe I didn't. But I know I still got all my riches. I still got all my authority. I still can serve self. I have that assurance. But he has no assurance of Christ.
Right.
We have something that the world does not
right.
have.
Yes.
We have something to rejoice in. We have something to praise God for. We have a Savior that has risen. And he's not only risen, but he has ascended into heaven, and he is sitting on the right hand of God today making intercession for each and every one of us.
Well,
we know that because we believe what the Word of God says. So we can freely give up all things to serve him. And when we don't give up things and he stripped them from us, we can rejoice in that, that the Lord loves me enough to take the things of the world away from me, to make me rejoice in him.
That's good, brother.
But he left sorrowful, the rich young ruler. He cannot have any of this assurance. But I'm going to tell you, one day he's going to believe.
Yeah, one day.
Look in Revelation. Revelations. Yeah. Chapter 20. And we're going to start with verse 11. Young people, listen to me today.
Listen.
This was a rich young ruler who had everything going for him. Everything but God. And here's where you're going to end up. Here's where he ended up. And I saw a great white stone, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. He's going to open that book up. And he's going to show that rich young ruler. His name's not there. And he's going to show him, where I loved you. But you will not give up things for me. He cannot blame God. Because he was not saved. He refused to bow. He refused to give up. He wanted to hold on to this world and the things of this world. He wanted to hold on to the things that he could see, which are temporary, and refused to turn loose of them, to hold on to things that are eternal. What are you holding on to today? Are you holding on to the things that are temporary? Are you holding on to the things that are eternal? And he's going to show him where he came, and he told him what he needed to do, and he refused to do it. You don't stand before God one of these days, and if you have not bowed the knee, and if you have not confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, he's going to say, I put you before preachers that loved you and preached the truth to you, and you refused to bow the knee and you refuse to acknowledge me as Lord. You put other things first. You love the world more than you love me. You love the temporary things more than you love me. And even his riches is going to testify against him. Look in James chapter 5. The things that you hold on to today, one of these days, they will testify against you. Look at this in James chapter 5. You say, well, I'm not rich. Let me ask you something. If you're healthy and doing good, and there's a rich man sitting out here that has cancer, do you think he would trade all his riches for your health? Or you think he'd hold on to his riches and keep his cancer and he's about to die? What do you think he would do? So see, depends on what you call rich. God has made us all rich in some way or another. He says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your misery that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupt and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankerous, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and ye shall and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasures together for the last days. You see that? The riches will be a testimony against them because they do not last. That was what Brother Conrad was bringing out. It's going to perish. It's going to burn up. It's going to go away. Everything that you see here today is temporary. Amen. It's going to be gone. The things that you cannot see are the things that are going to last forever. But the things that you can't see is the things of God. The things that you can see, the flesh and stuff, it's going to burn up. It's going to be gone. Behold, the hire of the labor who has reaped down your fields, which of you kept back by fraud, cried, and Christ of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived in pleasures on the earth and been wanted. You have nourished your heart as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he does not resist you. Now to the Christians. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain. Be patient. Wait upon the Lord. He is coming. And he's going to reward his people. It's the treasures of heaven that last us forever. These treasures on earth is just temporary. They never satisfy. They never fulfill. When you get one, it don't last. You'll be wanting another. Have you ever just really wanted something? Said, boy, if I get that, I never want nothing else. I'll be happy. And then when you got it, just a letdown. It wasn't what I thought it was. That's a blessing for Christians because it don't become a god. The Lord won't let it. And even the lost man, it will not fulfill very long. It'll grow old and then you'll be wanting something else. I drive a truck and I go down the road and I'll see go by a wrecking yard and there'll be an old truck over there. And I get to thinking, you know, that was a brand new truck at one time. And it had all the bells and the whistles and it was really nice and somebody paid a lot of money for it and they thought a lot about it. But now what is it? It's in the junk pile. And I get to thinking, the one I'm driving, it's going to be the same place one of these days. It's gone. Where are your treasures? What are you placing your emphasis on? Are you loving the Lord with all your heart and mind and soul and strength? Or are you loving the world? Let me ask you something. If you're loving the world, is it satisfying you? Are you getting joy out of it? Are you singing and making melody in your heart? That it satisfied? Are you complete? You got everything you want? It fulfills? I think we know the answer to that. But if you love the Lord and you're glorifying Him and He's first in your life and you cry out, Lord, don't let there be any idols in my life. Don't let there be anything that stands between me and You. Don't let me hold on to anything that is not that You don't want me to have. Then God brings a joy and a peace that we can't describe. Sometimes your heart just swells up and overflows. And you just rejoice in the Lord. Can riches do that for you? No, but the world is tricked. That's why when I go into Oklahoma over there and they got all the gambling casinos, all the parking lots are full. It don't matter what time of day or night. They're full. What are they looking for? They're looking for a temporary fix. They're looking for a elusive dream, something that they think will make them happy and satisfied. And it's a proven fact. All these people that have won these millions of dollars in lotteries, when they get through, they're more miserable than they did when they started. So it won't satisfy. Even the devil may try to trick you into that and thinking, boy, if I could just have a lot of money in the bank, I could have security. God is not wanting you to depend on the money. He's wanting you to depend on Him. Now, some people can handle that. I'm probably one of them can't because He won't let me have that much. But He always provides our needs.
Yeah.
He shows us that He's God. So what are we depending on? I was thinking, I can tell what you value most if you let me look at your checkbook. You think about it. Let me look at your time and your checkbook. And I know what's important to you. Think about it. Where are we putting our treasures? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. See, it's our Heavenly Father's joy.
Yeah.
It's His pleasure.
Good
pleasure to give us these things.
Right.
What would I think about my children when I was raising them if all they did was complain about to me about what I gave them and about what they didn't have? Would that not grieve me? But we're guilty of that sometimes with God. But He has a purpose that we might depend upon Him. That we might love Him. If my children knew that I really love them, they're not going to worry too much, are they? But if they wondered all the time, they might. God loves us. He loved us enough to give His own Son.
Right.
And He said if He gave His own Son, will He withhold any other good gift from us? Right. What could be more valuable to God than His own Son? So if He gave His own Son for us, should we not give everything to Him? Should we not? So let's don't hold on to these things. But let's glorify God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who died, not only died, but arose again the third day, and who's sitting on the right hand of God making intercession for us. You took my sins upon you and placed your righteousness upon me. I don't deserve it, never will, but I thank you for it. Lord, I pray that you'll bless this message today and use it for your honor and glory. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen.